Amen, amen. I want you to get your Bibles. And we will turn to the book of John, chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Amen. Let's begin reading at verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Amen. Praise God. I have preached out of this verse more times in the past 6 months than probably all of my ministry. Amen. And I can't get away from it. I believe there's something to it. I believe that it's time. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Praise the Lord. I just have some things I want to talk about here tonight, and we'll see what happens. Just some things while I was in prayer today began to come to me. And I honestly didn't sit down to try to put too much order or such to them. Number one, I didn't feel like it was exactly the right thing to do. I just want to be able to convey the mind of God unto us today. And when I say us, I'm talking about myself as well. Amen. I want to know the mind of God. This has been my... it has been my, as one said, this has been my bread both day and night. I find myself oftentimes driving down the road and praying and asking God to open his heart, open his mind unto me that I might know his perfect and divine will for our church. And I have prayed that God would open up a place for us to go physically. And I believe that there is a place that God desires us to go spiritually as well. Amen. And I believe that the Lord is positioning us into a place that He can do what He needs to do, what He desires to do. Folks, we're sitting on the brink of a rapture. Amen. 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 Praise God. And I know that you've heard that. For years, I've been in the church I was born and raised in the church. I don't remember if it was the first Sunday of my life or the first Wednesday. I wanted to say the first Sunday of my life I was in church. And just born and raised in church. And I have been hearing about the coming of the Lord since then. And I know that they were preaching it well before that. But it doesn't make it any less true. And at the same time, we're not just playing a game of hit and miss, that we're just that we're just saying such. But I believe that we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Praise God. You know as well as I know, and probably you know even better than I know, simply because I don't read the news. I just don't. Pretty much all of the news is negative and such, and if I want to be a positive individual, then I need to stay away from that, because all that does is it just makes me mad. And you know, when you're mad, you don't have positive things to say, and when you're mad, you're going to say things that maybe you shouldn't have said. And so I just don't. I do know that... that Russia is sitting on the border of Ukraine, And if they haven't attacked them yet, then they're definitely looking at doing so. And so I'm just going to say it like I feel it. It's not necessarily the position of this church, the position of leadership, but it's my position. It's the way that I feel. And with the weak-kneed president that we have, I just don't know how all of this is going to turn out. Amen. An individual that wants to hide behind podiums and such, and then act like he's a hot shot. I just need to move on. Amen. Now you know why I don't listen to the news. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But it very well could be that we are on the verge of World War III. Very, very much World War III. And Brother Wirtz and I and Sister Wirtz and my wife, we were talking the other day, and I just personally said, I just don't feel like World War III would last very long. Too many people got too many nuclear buttons to push. And you know what? We may have a missile defense strategy that might be able to tear down the missiles that come over in this area. But you know what? We don't have to have a physical missile hit some type of building or such like that. All that has to happen is the electric grid has to go down. The electric grid goes down, we're toast. Nothing in your house is going to work. Most of your vehicles aren't going to work, especially those Teslas. But at the same time, the gas pump's probably not going to work either, so it's not really going to matter. But there's going to be a lot of things. It's going to be catastrophic. It's going to be catastrophic. In the wintertime, your heater's not going to work. Summertime, your air conditioner's not going to work. I look and for that blessed hope, and I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Praise God. But I believe that there is a door of opportunity in this last day for a harvest, for a great revival. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some would say that there's no such thing as end time revival, and that the prophecies of Joel was Acts chapter number 2. But I say, who cares? I believe that it's God's will to fill people with the Holy Ghost until the trumpet sounds. And if God wants to fill 3,000 with the Holy Ghost, then I want to be ready to help pray 3,000 through to the Holy Ghost. Amen. But if only 3 want to get the Holy Ghost, then I want to be prepared to pray 3 through to the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so what we see in the text today, obviously we know the story about the woman that is at the well. And Jesus comes unto her and begins to speak to her and ask her to draw and to give her water. And he tells her, he said, you know, if you knew what I had to offer, you would ask of me water, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. And so we know that there is communication that goes on between them. He tells them, he said, you're correct. You don't have a husband. You've had 5 of them, and the one that you're with now is no longer your husband. And she said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And so she said, you know what, let me go get somebody. God help us to have that mentality. Help us to have that mentality. Let me go get somebody to bring back to put into your presence. Amen. Amen. Too many times we're too content with coming to church with our cars empty. And not just a car empty, but also having spoken to nobody and asked anybody to come to church. And, you know, we just kind of feel a little bit secured in that, you know, I'm in the church and maybe my kids are in the church and some of my loved ones are in the church. And so we feel that comfortable of that. But you know what? There's still a lot of lost people in this world. Still a lot of lost friends in this world and neighbors, amen, that are lost in this world. And I believe that God is asking the church to step up. I really do. I really, really do. I cannot say that enough. I believe that God is asking the church to step up. I believe that God is asking us to step up our prayer life. Amen. I believe that God is asking us to step up our prayer life. Amen. Praise God. If you live anywhere near and around the church, I know some of you live multiple miles away, 10, 15, 20, 30 miles away, and you can't make it to the church. But for those of us that can, you know, it would be a good thing to come to the church and just saturate this place with prayer. I know you can stay home and you can pray in your living room, you can pray in your closet and such like that, but I want there to be such a spirit of prayer that is in this place. I want this place to be full of prayers that are being prayed for the sinners and for the lost of this city. Amen. Amen. You don't have to have a scheduled meeting to come to church to come pray. You don't have to have a scheduled time to come pray. Amen. But I just feel in the spirit that there is something that God desires to do, but it is going to take a positioned church. It's going to take a positioned church. A weak church is not going to be able to do what God wants us to do. You think about the weightlifter, amen, that wants to go to competition. You know, he can't just eat however that he wants to and then wake up on competition day, run out there to the weights, you know, and pump them a few times and expect to do anything. He's got to position himself and be disciplined on a daily basis, amen, to be able to do what he desires to accomplish. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That man can't decide, you know, one day, you know what? In 6 months, I think I want to bench 350 pounds and then not do anything. And then in 6 months, go climb under 350 pounds. He's getting ready to crush his chest. You've got to grow. You've got to grow. And what I'm saying is God is giving the church, and I'm not just saying this church. I feel it all across America, all across the world. I believe that God has given the church a window to position themselves. You understand that when the visitors come, it's not time to start praying then. Hopefully we've already been praying. And you know, and when they start coming to church, it's not time to start fasting then. Hopefully we've already been fasting. It's not time to get serious about worship. Amen. Hopefully we've already gotten serious about worship. Otherwise, isn't that some kind of hypocrisy? That all of a sudden, amen, people start coming and we pretend that we're somebody that we're not? Oh, we are an on-fire church. You know, I'm not accusing us of being that. I'm just saying that God is opening a door of opportunity for us to position ourselves to get into the place that He has prepared for us, that when He begins to beckon and begins to call, or in other words, when the heat of the world begins to be cranked up. You know, when 9/11 happened, we thought that, you know, the church was going to fill up. And I tell you what, the gas stations did. I remember being out there and hoping to get a little bit of gas. And, you know, I'm backed up way out there on the street, you know, as you're easing on in and stuff because the pumps are so full and such. But you know what? All of that lasted just a few months, and then it was gone and it was over. There's a few people that prayed through. Some may have lasted. Some, I know others didn't last and stuff. But it went right back. It went right back to the, I guess, what they would call the normal. But you know what? That's when God needs a church to be positioned and to be ready to receive. And this is a spiritual thing. And we've got to be spiritual about it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so the Lord, in a spiritual way, and the Lord approached this woman. And He begins to talk to her. And she says, hold on right there. And let me go get some people. Let me go get my friends and my family, and let me go get everybody and tell them to come see a man that's told me everything that I've ever done. Right. Amen. Praise God. Somewhere or another, we got to get back to that testimony. Somewhere or another, we got to get back to that burden. amen, that we get in touch with the Holy Ghost and that we have a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God moving upon us. Amen, that when we walk out of a Sunday night, we say, God, hold on a second. I want to go get somebody to bring them back and to put them in your presence so they can experience what I just experienced. Praise God. In the process of all of this, the disciples had gone into the market and gotten some food and such. And Jesus goes on over into Samaria, and there he is at the well and conversing with this woman. And she's left, and the disciples are coming back, and they're looking at him. And he began there. He began to say, in the meantime, his disciples prayed him. They said, Master, yeah, we're back here and we've got some food. Why don't you sit down and eat? And he looks at them and he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Amen. That was not necessarily a prophecy, amen, that they would in the future sometime or another envision this to transpire. I'm going to tell you what happened. There is a woman that is coming back with a boatload of people, and they're looking at Jesus saying, hey, Jesus, it's time to eat. He said, I have meat that you don't know, that you know not of. And somebody's wondering, did somebody bring him McDonald's while we were gone? And he said, no. He said, say not that there's 4 months until harvest. He said, look up. And too many times we're looking at what we have. Well, I've got this little bag that's got a little bit in here, and I'm taking care of myself, and I've got everything arranged, and everything is here, and this is what is necessary. Amen. And our eyes upon what we have. And Jesus is saying, look up at what is coming. Amen. And if they would have looked up from their bag and looked out, they would have seen Samaritans coming, amen, unto the feet of Jesus so that he could speak to them or that he could minister to them. That was the field that was white unto harvest. Not something that was going to come. Something that was happening right then. Right then, right then, right then, right then. Praise God. And so I want to ask you tonight, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Are you looking at what we have? Are you looking around here at what we have and saying, well, you know what, we got a pretty good group here, and you know, a few more might fill the place out a little bit better and such. Look around. Look around. I mean, there's some empty pews here and there and such, but you know, 3-4 families and stuff, and we'd be looking pretty full. I know that we can take a whole lot more, but it'd start looking really, really good. You had about 3 or 4 more families. You're looking around at what you have. Amen, and what you might need. Amen, but there's a whole lot more that is out there. And God wants to get us, amen, off of what we see currently right now in our little vision. Oh, this little thing is going to take care of us. God wants us to look past all of that. God wants us to look beyond, amen, what mortal eye can see and such. God wants us to look out and to get a heavenly vision and to be able to see what he sees. There is a field that is white unto harvest. God's already got a group of people, amen, that all he has to do is say, come and dine, the master calleth, and they'll be on their way. But does he have a church that's ready to receive them? Does he have a church that's ready to pray them through? Does he have a church that's spiritually strong enough, amen, to labor with them in the altar so that we can see them pray through to the Holy Ghost? Does he have a church that's on a stopwatch at 9 o'clock? Or does he have a church that's willing to do whatever it takes in order to see the will of God come to pass? Praise God. Amen. The harvest has got to become very, very personal. It's got to become personal. Amen. It's got to become personal. I'm sorry, but you're not going to make it gleaning off of somebody else's blessing. That's not going to happen. Paul said, you did run well, but who did hinder you? There's going to come trials. There's going to come hardship. There's going to come burden. There's going to come things upon the church, and you've got to make sure that you're stuck. And you got something to partake of yourself. Amen. Amen. You got to make sure. The harvest has got to become very, very personal. Very, very personal to you. If you don't sow, you're not going to harvest. And if you don't harvest, you're not going to eat. Now, that's what God said. You know, the Lord had a rule through all of that. And he said, you know, if a man doesn't work, don't let him eat. And I know that that's a physical meaning, and that you need to go out and you need to work to provide for your family. And that if a man doesn't provide for his family, that he's worse than an infidel. And I know that you need to work and such, but there is spiritualness that is involved in this as well. Amen. If you don't invest yourself into the kingdom of God, amen, when the time comes, you're not going to make it. And so it's got to become very, very personal to you. You've got to invest yourself into the kingdom of God. Amen. And you've got to look at this church as this is my church. This is my church. That's what Shammah did. That's what Shammah did. Shammah is standing on this ground of lentils. Amen. That was full of lentils. Full of lentils. And you know why everybody else ran? Because they didn't have a revelation that was their ground. They didn't care about fighting. All they cared about was just leaving. And so when the Philistines came in, they jumped up and took off running. Shammah is the only one that stood and stayed, and there's multiple reasons why he stood and he stayed. Number one, he said, "This is my ground. This is my ground." You know, the devil's going to come whispering things to you, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in the little bit of notes that I have, but the devil's going to come whispering things to you, amen, to try to tear down the image of the church to you, to the place that, you know, you may think that you don't need the church. It's not as necessary as it was. God help me. I am looking at a sea of people, amen, in this place right now, amen, that God has blessed you and God has prospered your life. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I could go through almost everyone in here and I could tell you of the blessings that God has blessed upon this place since I have been here. And it has nothing to do with me. I just happened to show up at the right time. But amen, some of you, let me just be plain here today. That's the only way I feel to be. Amen, some of you made more money last year than you've ever made in your entire life. Last year, amen, you were blessed with jobs, amen, that you didn't even qualify for. Amen. There were times, amen, that you thought that your job was finished and done. All of a sudden to get a notice that says, no, your job is going to be one of the most important here. Amen. And we're going in your direction. And God just kind of sewed things up. You see, there is a principle in the law in the Bible. Amen. Paying your tithe. Somebody says, well, I haven't been blessed. You haven't been faithful in your tithe either. But when you're faithful in your tithing and faithful in your offerings, amen, I'm going to tell you, God has to bless you. You say, oh, he has to. That's what his word says. His word said, try me now, herewith saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that there would not be room enough to receive it. When you give unto the Lord, God is going to bless you because he's held accountable by his own will. And his will says, amen, the Lord said, he said, if you'll bring me the first fruit, praise God. Well, here I am. I might as well just preach. I'm trying to preach at least until the Super Bowl's long and over. And if I see you playing with your phone, I'm going to come take it up. Go ahead. Tithing is not what's left over. Tithing is when you get paid, you pay your tithe according to that. Tithing isn't, well, let me see what else I've got all left, and then at the end I'll see if there's enough money, amen, or what I can pay tithe on. My friend, I've got a revelation that I cannot outgive God. I can't out-squeeze Him. I can't out-pinch Him. I feel like running the aisles about right now. Hey man, you're looking at an individual, hey man, that when I was making about 12 bucks an hour, I started paying tithe on 14 because I wanted God to come through. And I'm telling you, God came through. You're looking at an individual where there was hardly any money to pay the bills, and the pastor stood up and he asked for a sacrificial offering. My wife looked at me and I said, just give it. Amen. And she gave, amen, what we had. Amen. And when I got my check that Friday, it was for the exact same amount that I had given on Wednesday. You will never convince me that God doesn't know and that God doesn't care and that God will not bless. You've come too late to tell me that. Some of you ought to be shouting right now because you tried it. You paid your tithe and God blessed. You paid your tithe and God kept your job. You paid your tithe and God gave you a new job. You paid your tithe and God gave you a raise. You paid your tithe and God elevated you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's just the way that it happens. Don't ever, ever think, and don't ever, ever get into the mindset that you're going to nickel and dime God. Well, you know what? I'm just going to, let me do this and let me do this and make sure. Let me tell you what, if that's the type of blessing that you want, that's the type of blessing you're going to get. Praise God. You can be seated. Amen. I know that when I was working for myself and doing some side jobs and such like that, amen, I could have nickeled and dimed God. But I bid a job out one time at about $8,000. Not very much. Material was about $4,000. And so I paid, you know, I bought the material, $4,000. I had $4,000 left. I paid Marcus. He came and helped me work. And I paid another guy that came and helped me work for a couple of days. And there it was. I had X number of dollars. I just paid tithe on the whole thing. I just paid tithe on it. I could have taken my gas out. I could have taken this out. I could have taken that out. I could have done all that. Amen. But I have a revelation. I have a revelation. I'm telling you, friend, there's been times that I've paid 15% tithe. You know why? Because I know that God is going to come through. Hallelujah! And some of you need to get that type of revelation. You need to get that type of revelation. But you know what? You're not going to get that type of revelation until you sacrifice. Amen. You got to put it out there. And when you put it out there, God's going to step out there as well. It's in His Word. It's in His Word. It's in His Word. It's in His Word. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm preaching right now to a prosperous people. To a prosperous people. Amen. I can't even begin to start talking and telling you about all the blessings that God has multiplied upon this the saints of this church. And it's just like Brother Worth, it's just like when I think, wow, God's done it again, and I don't see how He could do it again. I was just thinking that just the other day. Just the other day, I was like, God, You have blessed, You have come through. I don't know how You could do it again. I just don't see where. And God is my witness. Brother Deontay walks up this morning and says, I want to share a testimony with you. And God has blessed them again. You know why God's blessed the Brown family? It's because they've been faithful.
It's because they've been faithful. Amen. But let me tell you something right now. It's not over yet. You continue to be faithful. And God's got even more. Amen. It could be just the salvation of your children. But it's going to be worth it one day when we all get to heaven. Don't ever count God out. He'll come through when you don't even know. When you don't even think that God will come through. God will come through. And you know, it's times that we feel like we, amen, when we feel the pressure upon us, amen, when we feel the tightness and the stress and the worry and the anxiety on us, amen, it pushes us to our knees and we're faithful, amen, in prayer, and we're faithful in fasting and committing ourselves unto the Lord and stuff. And then when all of a sudden the prosperity begins to come and the blessings begin to come and the harvest begins to produce fruit and you begin to partake of that fruit, amen, we forget to pray, we forget to fast, amen, we forget to do those things. Hallelujah. Don't forget God in a time like that. Amen. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Let me just brag for a little while. Amen. Just so that nobody, amen, gets the high and mighty here. Amen. Number one, 10% belongs to God. It's not yours, it's God's. Amen. And if you shave that 10% down or whatever else like that, you rob. You're a robber. You're robbing God. It's not yours, it belongs to God. If you was in the world, it'd be a lot more than 10% because alcohol and cigarettes and drugs, amen, and all of those things cost a lot more than 10%. 10% belongs to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. It belongs to God. And then you've got an offering that you need to give unto the Lord, because He said that you have robbed me in tithing and offerings. Offerings. I'm not going to get into preaching and teaching about offerings tonight. Amen. But you need to make sure that you're giving a sufficient offering unto the Lord. And the reason that I say that is because in the book of Malachi, chapter number 1, we would see that they would bring an offering unto the Lord. Amen. And the Lord looked at them and He said, you know what? Am I supposed to accept this? Why don't you go take what you're trying to give to me and offer it to the governor and see if he'll accept it? And the reality was that the governor would not accept it. Why? Because it was lame, it was halt, and it was blind. And God said, no, there is a stipulation of what I will accept. So you need to make sure that the offering that you're giving, you say, well, Pastor, what is sufficient? That's something that you've got to decide. But let me just tell it to you like this. And let me brag for a little while here today. And it's not about me. I'll tell you what I do. I don't have a problem with telling anybody what I do. I'm just going to tell you, amen, what other people in this church is doing. And that's why the blessings are falling and flowing out upon the people that are in this church. We've got people in this church that's given 10% tithe, 10% offering. They're given to the building fund, and they're given to missions. And it's well over 25 to 30% of what they're giving. You say, well, I couldn't live. I don't know how they're living it either. Amen. But I tell you what, they've got a hold of God. And something is happening right there. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We got young people, amen, that are giving 20%, 10% tithe, 10% offering. Amen. We got people giving 10% tithe, 5% offering, given to the building fund, given to the, amen, missions and such. Amen. I'm telling you, there are people that are in here today that have no greed whatsoever at all in them. Amen. They feel the need. They just write a check or they put it in the plate. Amen. And it's there. I'd never dream that sometimes the things that would come into this church, out of this little church, but somebody's got a revelation. Somebody, amen, has a vision. Somebody's got a hope of God and has experienced some blessings. You cannot outgive God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not money hungry. God knows I'm not money hungry. We've given way too much away. If it was up to my wife, we'd give it all away. I want to see revival. And so I'll do whatever it takes to have revival. I'll do whatever God asks me to do. I'll do it. I don't care. I want revival. That's the only thing in this world that really matters to me. I'm thankful that I've got a roof over my head. Amen. But God will put a roof over my head if I stay busy. Amen. And stay. Now. Let me preface all of that, and let me say this: that if you give all of your money to the church, and let's say that for some reason God doesn't bless you financially, don't come crying. Now, I believe you need to be a good steward. So if God says give it all, then you can give it all. But if God doesn't say give it all, don't think that you have to give it all. God's put some wisdom up in here. And you're to be a good steward. You're to make sure that your bills are paid. That the bill collectors aren't calling you all the time. Go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 26. And he said, I will bless your basket. That's your job. That's the income that's coming in because you bring your basket. But he said, I will bless your storehouse. Your storehouse, the overflow. Your savings account. My Lord, I had no intentions of coming here today like this. God wants you to have a savings account. If you young people are spending every dime that you make, shame on you. You need a savings account. You need to be disciplined now to save money and not to spend everything that you make. I don't care if you're 19 or 12. You need to be saving money. You need to be saving it. It's just the discipline of it. And when you show that you can manage your money, God will give you more money. Amen. And so if you haven't done that, you need to start doing that. You say, well, I don't have a savings account. You got a piggy bank. Put it in the piggy bank and leave it there. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And don't be impulse buyers. Don't be fad buyers. That a new fad comes in, you run, I got to have that. Be an impulse buyer. They just, oh, I got to have that, and you just go grab it. When we were raising our children, when they were younger, we taught them, said, don't be impulse buyers. And you know, and after about 2 or 3 months, you'd say, hey, do you still want that toy? No, not really. Mm-hmm. We just saved you some money. Because if you'd have bought it back then, it'd be sitting out in the rain today. Glory. Let me get back to my message. Praise God. But we are very, very prosperous. We're very, very blessed. God has blessed us beyond measure. Amen. And so we need to be cognizant of that. Praise God. But we need to be positioned. That because that we are blessed, it isn't time to stop praying. It's not time to stop fasting. It's not time to stop applying ourselves. Amen. In worship. I heard the story said that there was a man that had an old broken down Ford pickup. It's because it was a Ford. Don't try to deny me. Yours is always broke down. But he always had an old broke down Ford pickup. And he is paying his tithe. Amen. And he had his pickup. Amen. And there it was. And it was breaking down. He was paying his tithe. Breaking down. Say, well, why didn't God bless him if he was paying his tithe? Why didn't God help him through that? God knows a whole lot more than we know. Because one day God blessed him. And God gave him a good job. And he got rid of that old truck. And he bought him a brand new truck. But when he became prosperous, all of a sudden he couldn't pray. All of a sudden, he couldn't fast. He couldn't be faithful to the house of God. God blessed him with a job. He started working overtime and started missing church. And he had to buy a new house and all those other stuff. And before that, before it was all said and done, he quit the church completely. That's not the way that we need to be. We need to be thankful of the blessings that God has given unto us. Amen. And use the blessings that God has given unto us wisely. Amen. But let's not stop being spiritual. Amen. When we didn't know where the food was going to come from. Amen. And we prayed and sought God. And God put the food upon the table. Let us go back to those days. Not of not having to eat. But going back and seeking God. And saying, hey, God. I know that there's somebody out there that used to be just like me, but I've got a testimony now. Would you lead them to me that I could tell them, come see a man that helped me with everything that I had. I used to be that one, amen, that was driving the clunker, but God has blessed me. I used to be that one, amen, that was paying just a few bucks off of a Dairy Queen job, but God has bless me. Oh God, show me the harvest of where they are that I can go get them and tell them about a God that has been good to me. And so Shammah thought, you know what? This is my ground. This belongs to me. You know, if you were born into this church, this is your church. And maybe you moved into the church, but amen, you need to adopt that this is your church. Let me just say that people do not prosper that are always looking for another church to go to. It doesn't happen. Amen. People that get up and move and... Sometimes I wonder about pastors that move from church to church, and I know that I'm one of them, how that God keeps us. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. Amen. Praise God. It's got to be personal. It's got to be, I just wished our church was better. Well, then do something about it. I just wished our church was full. Well, how many people did you invite last week? Well, I just wish we had more young people. Well, how many young people did you invite last week? Well, I just wish we had more couples. Well, how many couples did you teach a Bible study last week? You see, you can't push this burden, this responsibility off on somebody else. It's got to become personal. Amen. If you want the church to be full, then you stand up and take the responsibility. And if I want the church to be full, then I've got to stand up and take the responsibility. And I got to make sure that when I'm going, I'm diligent about sowing seed. Praise God. Amen, amen. And I know that the people here, that they're diligent about sowing seed because the business cards, the church cards keep disappearing. And that's wonderful and that's great. Praise God. But we need to make sure we're making them put in good hands and not on the floorboard. Amen. Or winding up in a trash can somewhere. Praise God. But oh, thank God. But it's got to be personal. So Shammah said, this is my land. It's the land that his forefathers fought for. It belonged to him. He said, this is mine. And sometimes it is that every time the devil comes knocking on the door and the devil comes into the church and stuff, we got too many people that are turning the other way and running away. We need people that will stand up and say, no, devil. No, devil, this is my church. This is my church. And Shammah said, you know what? This is my ground. But this is my harvest too. And if I turn around and run and you come in and you take the harvest, I don't have anything to eat. Come wintertime, I'm going to have some babies that are crying because they're hungry. And I'm going to have some animals that are going to be weak and they're not going to be able to plow the field next week because I didn't have anything to feed them during the wintertime. Because I turned around and ran. And so when the devil comes knocking at our church, amen, it's time for people to stand up and say, no, devil, that ain't happening in our church. It's got to become personal. You got to be ready to stand guard. James said, from whence comest wars and fightings among you? That ought not to be so. There ought not to be any wars and fightings and murmurings and dissension between us. You know, we don't all believe the same way. We believe Acts 2:38. And we believe the core fundamentals the same. But there's probably some of us that don't believe exactly the same. But you know what? You're still my brother. You're still my sister. And I don't want to see the devil wreak havoc in your life. I don't want to see the devil wreak havoc in your family. I don't want to see the devil take you out of the church just because you don't see everything the way that I see things. And so I'm going to support you, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to shake your hand, and I'm going to hug your neck, and I'm going to lift you up. And that's the way that we all ought to be towards one another. United we stand, and divided we fall. I've seen a lot of churches go under because of divisions within. You know, wars and rumors of wars that's supposed to happen in the end time, that ought not to be within the church. We ought to be able to stand up and say, hey, amen, if that's the devil coming in on the horizon, it's time to amp up the prayer a little bit. If that's the devil coming in on the horizon, amen, then it's time to make sure that I'm fasting. It's time to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do. Why? Because this is the harvest that God has given us. Amen. God has given us a harvest because, and he's expecting us to take the responsibility of caring for it and nurturing it and taking care of it and harvesting it. Amen, amen. God doesn't give us a harvest so that we can leave out there in the field and let it rot. But God's going to give New Life Tabernacle a harvest because he thinks that we can handle it. I want to be ready to handle it. I want to be ready to handle it. I want to be ready to handle it. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so we're going to have visitors. Let me just call them guest, because there's a difference between a visitor and a guest. I remember preaching for Brother Crosswhite many, 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 many years ago. And Brother Crosswhite told us the difference between a guest and a visitor. So let's say that you're cooking fried chicken. You know why you're cooking in abundance. You know why? It's because you have guests coming. So you cook in abundance because you have guests that are coming. But when it's visitors that are coming, Sister Worth, you're not putting on a spread for 15. You're just putting on just enough to feed you and Brother Worth. And then a visitor pops in. You're like, well, we weren't expecting you. But if you was expecting 5, you would cook for 7 or more, because they're guests. I pray that the people that come in here are not just visitors. I was expecting you. Well, you didn't invite me. It doesn't matter. I've been expecting you. I've been expecting God to draw and to pull. I've been expecting a church card to fall into a right hand. And it may be the hand that I put it into your hand, and you're like, well, I don't need this. And you give it to him, and you're like, hey, you know what? I'll just put it here on the countertop. And then somebody walking by says, what's this? Oh, I need this. But when they come in, they're guests. We got enough for everybody. Oh, yeah, we got enough for everybody. Oh, come on in. Come on in. You're just in time for the blessings of God. They're guests. But let us not forget the guest. Amen? So when we have guests that are here and we say that you're dismissed, you need to make sure that you are going to them. You say, well, you know what? I'm not a single mom, you know, and I don't want to go over there by a single mom. It doesn't matter. They need to feel love from everybody. Young people, everybody, get around them. They're hurt. They're broken. They're here. They're searching. They're looking for something. So get around them. You don't have to sit there and make conversation with them, but just shake their hand and just tell them how happy that you are that they're here. How happy that you are that they decided to come here. They could have went to any church, but we're happy that they're here. We need to make them feel welcome. Why? That's the harvest. That's the harvest. And you know, the quickest thing that'll destroy a harvest is a storm. A storm. I'm trying to think. I read something not too long ago, and I'm trying to recall it. Oh, I remember. It wasn't a story. I heard some preaching. I think it was, I don't even know. It may have been Brother McFall was preaching. Or it may have been B. God help us. It wasn't me. I just don't remember who was doing the preaching. But I remember the preaching. And he got talking that if you're walking through and there's the cornfield there that you can eat. Brother Worse was preaching it. I think. If you grab the corn, amen, you can eat of the corn, but you can't take it home. See, I listen. We got your back. Praise God. And so there is that. But you know what destroys an entire field? It's not the ones that are coming through and saying, you know what, I'm hungry today. And taking a... No, it's fires. It's floods. It's the boll weevils. Pestilences. They come in and destroy a whole harvest. And there's some things that the farmers and that they can't do anything about it. But they definitely can do something about the pestilence. Amen. They put out, they make sure that they're spraying their crops. And I know that all of a sudden things aren't become organic and all that other stuff. But you understand what I'm saying. What I am saying is we can allow a storm to go through this church and destroy the harvest that God wants to give us. Or we can stand in defiance of the storm and do what we can to protect the harvest that God has given to us. And finally, everybody prospers from the harvest. The sower, the reaper, the fatherless, the widow, the stranger, the servants, the cattle, the family, all the babies, everybody prospers because of the harvest. Everybody prospers because of the harvest. And I just know how good it would be for all of us if we saw about 4 or 5 more get the Holy Ghost. Everybody would prosper. Everybody would prosper. If there was somebody, if one of your friends came in and prayed through to the Holy Ghost, it would bless you. It would bless your family. You'd be so happy and so excited. But you know what? I'd be happy and excited too. And there's other people in the church that would be happy and excited too. And sometimes people are just gripey and grumpy just because they're hungry. And sometimes if you see somebody pray through to the Holy Ghost, and that just gets you over the hump. And you're just not so down and out anymore. Because the harvest takes care of a lot of issues. Harvest takes care of a lot of things. And so as we stand here tonight, I'm just asking, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the meager little bag that you have in your hands? Or are you lifting up your eyes and looking out onto the fields? For they are white unto harvest. God, help me not to get caught up. Help me not to get caught up.
looking at my little meager blessings when there's so much more that's on the horizon. I'm very, very thankful. I'm very, very thankful for what God has blessed me with and what God has blessed you with. But I don't want to get caught up counting my blessings when the harvest is disappearing. There's a certain time that those farmers know it's time to get the combines out. It's time to go harvest that cotton. Time to go harvest those soybeans. They're ready. The wheat, it's ready. It's ready. It's time. It's time. If they procrastinate, it'll rot. It'll be wasted. And all the money that's been sent to get it to that point has been wasted. And so I don't want to sit here and just count my little blessings and say, thank you, God. But I want to say, hold on. Let me go get some people to come back and see a man that's told me everything that I've ever done. I want to be the disciples that's not looking at the bag, that's lifting up their eyes and looking out onto the fields that are white unto harvest. Sitting at home on the couch reading a book isn't going to get the harvest brought in. I'm not against reading books. I'm not against those things. I just use that just as an example. I'm just simply saying, if the harvest is going to get reaped, it's going to be because somebody does it. Somebody got to pray. Somebody's got to position ourselves to a place that God can do what He desires to do. Amen. Amen. And so I am opening up these altars here tonight. I just want you to examine your life. I just want you to examine, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the blessings that God has put into your hands? Be thankful. Be thankful for them. But don't forget to look at the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Jesus wasn't telling them to go look into an agricultural field. He was saying, look up. Look at all of these people that are coming right now. That's what I want you to see. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is being able to see but having no vision. Is that how we are in this day and age? We just simply have no vision of what God can do. God, give me a vision. Give me a vision. Oh, let's take account of our lives today. Thank you, Jesus.